It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
It's a brand new hour here on the Guy Benson Show from Tel Aviv, Israel this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. I'm Guy Benson. Very glad to have you here. And our website is always the same, our online home, regardless of where I am around the world or around the country. It's GuyBensonShow.com. The podcast also available free on demand every day, no charge when the show is over at FoxNewsPodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Well, yesterday as we opened the show, I shared an anecdote about someone that I spoke with and met just yesterday afternoon. He is an Israeli commander in the IDF. And he was pulled away from a vacation with his family and young kids when October 7th happened. And ever since then, more or less, he has been on the front lines, protecting in that part of the country, in the north, against the threat of Hezbollah, right on the border there of Lebanon. Hezbollah being a very well-equipped, dangerous, deep-pocketed, and sophisticated terrorist organization, funded and directed, of course, by Iran. I was impressed by this man named Ariel, moved by his story, his patriotism, his service to country, and I heard from a number of you in response to just the story that I told characterizing his words. I actually have some of his words to play for you. I would like you to hear the story, not just of the personal sacrifice, but the sense of national duty and how this man really aspires for peace moving forward. Here is that man, Ariel, IDF commander, right on the Lebanon border, guarding his country against the threat of Hezbollah. Here's part of what he had to say.
So hi, everyone. Welcome to Hanita. Hanita is the kibbutz that we're in right now. My name is Ariel. I'm the company commander here. I'm a major in the reserves force of the IDF. And our mission here is to defend the kibbutz and the surrounding areas to make sure that if there's any infiltration by Hezbollah, then we'll be quick to respond and we'll neutralize that threat. On the 7th of October, it was actually my birthday. My birthday is October 6th. And the war for me started when I was at a hotel in Netanya with my three little girls sleeping in. And then my phone was ringing nonstop and I understood that there's a war. I sent my wonderful wife home with my three kids from the hotel from our little vacation there. And quickly I got into my vehicle and I came up north here to defend the border, gathered my troops, and we got an area of the border that we had to defend. And since then we've been here. We've been here away from our families, away from our profession, but doing what we need in order to defend our country, to make sure that our country is strong and is safe and a safe place for all the people of the north and the people of all of Israel. And actually for me, I've been in We were posted in different areas along the northern border, but it's the first time we're actually in a specific kibbutz like this. And the most difficult part for me as a commander is to walk through this wonderful kibbutz. It really is beautiful. It's the kind of place where you would take your family for a vacation, you know, to go to a vacation home. There's like a pool here and it's like beautiful grass, beautiful greenery, flowers everywhere, and you'll see it as we walk around. And to see the homes completely evacuated, and to see, you know, all of a sudden there's porcupines in the street and cows walking around, like stuff that you wouldn't expect in an inhibited kibbutz. And as a civilian who is now, you know, enlisted in the military force as a reserve, as a commander in the officer and commander in the reserves, that's, I think, something that's really difficult for me to see. And I really, you know, yearn for the time where the citizens of Hanita or all of the north can return to their homes in a secure fashion.
And then earlier today, as I mentioned in the open, I spent a fair amount of time at the site of the Nova Music Festival massacre in the southern part of Israel. And it was an extremely difficult, harrowing experience. As I anticipated, I was sort of talking through it here on the air yesterday, knowing it was going to be tough to see some of the things that we saw today, both at the kibbutz and then at the music festival massacre site. And yes, it was really, really hard. It was awful. It was in some ways unspeakable, but part of my job is to speak and to convey thoughts and to bring you information. One of the people that we met today is a young man in his late 20s named Yoni Diller. And Yoni was at the music festival. He was there as an amateur photographer. He was there to dance and have fun with friends. Thank God he survived when hundreds did not. And he told me part of his story and his view on this conflict, world reaction. He's really a sharp, thoughtful person. And I wanted you to hear part of what he had to say. We had this one-on-one exchange. Let's listen. Yoni, how old are you?
I am 28.
So you were here, we're physically standing steps away from the dance floor at this Nova Music Festival. You were here to take photographs and to party and to dance. When did you realize, aside from the rockets that were getting fired, when did you realize this was different and even more dangerous?
When we saw an injured girl coming our way, Shani Gabay, that's when we understood that something's going on and there are bullets flying everywhere.
You credit her with saving your life. Why?
Because when we saw her injured and we heard gunfire in the background and we see missiles flying from Gaza, we understood that something is going on. So she really affected our decision making. Because of her, we decided to leave the area. If she wasn't there, we would go to the direction where she came from, where she got injured.
For a while you said it was believed that she might have been kidnapped. She might have been a hostage. Then, tragically, it was discovered that she had died. How did that come to pass? How do you know that she was gone?
Just stories of people telling me afterwards, from the news and just mouth to ear. We heard what happened to her.
And they found, what, a necklace or something?
Yeah, they found her necklace in some other person's body. Then they understood that Shani, she got murdered here in the Nova, and she wasn't kidnapped all this time.
You said that you have a friend who is still a hostage, right? How do you know him?
He went to high school with me. His name is Almok Sarusi. He's still kidnapped.
You've been to the U.S. You've told this story, a much longer version of this story, how you were able to escape, how you were able to survive. How have you been received? Because you went to some very well-known campuses on the East Coast. There are hot spots, a lot of anti-Semitism. A lot of people like you just aren't welcome. They don't want to hear your story. What was that like?
Well, fortunately, I was invited by Jewish people like Hillel to speak in front of their community. So I wasn't speaking to the whole crowd because it was sure that if I would speak to radical people, they wouldn't want to listen and they would just try to disturb the whole conversation. So it's just me telling the story. It's not even talking about any politics or anything, or giving any preaching. But even that is something that the radical people do all the protests in these universities are not going to allow, because that's the truth, and they're not interested in people hearing the truth.
Well, the opposite, right? They want people not to hear your story. Why do you think that is?
Because they want to stick to their narrative. Their narrative is hating Israel and using the Free Palestine slogan as a mask for hating Jews and hating Israelis, hating whatever is Zionist. So they're not interested for any guy to, you know, tell his story what happened October 7th, because they want people to stick to their narrative, of hating Jews. They're the problem and the Palestinians are the victims. And it's not about that. It's about we have to focus what really went on. And the Hamas terrorist organization, they're really the responsible. They're responsible for all this.
What do you want Americans to know? What's your message to listeners right now?
Well, there are a few things. First of all, doubt what you see. Not everything you see on TikTok is necessarily true. And people just tend to believe everything they see sometimes, and they want to be part of something that is bigger than them. So let's just say being anti-Semitic is pretty trendy. So they're going to want to be anti-Semitic because it's trendy. They're not going to start questioning why is it trendy. Or just October 7th, people should be more curious and understand what really happened. And just look at two sides. There's always two sides of the coin. And I just want people to question things. And, you know, they don't have to take one like a side. But just learn the facts. Just learn the facts. That's all. It's very simple.
Finally, we're here. We're just looking at all these makeshift memorials, photographs of all these young people your age, our age, and they're gone. There are hundreds of them are gone. Is it hard for you to come back here, having been here, the memories, surviving this, seeing all those who didn't? What's that process like for you?
Well, it's very challenging to come here every time. But I would say that for me, it's a kind of a closure. So, you know, I'm here just to, for me, it's my medicine. Like I said before, it's, you know, it's hard, but I think this will make me feel a bit better. You know, getting back to where the trauma really, really started.
If we have listeners who are on Instagram, I know you post a lot of your content there. Where can people follow you?
Yoni Diller, on Instagram and Facebook. And soon I'm writing a blog in Times of Israel.
Yoni Diller on the Guy Benson Show. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
If you missed any of our opening segments today, or the interviews that we conducted, or some of the sound that we played here, be sure to go back and check it out on the podcast, GuyBensonShow.com. It's always free. It's always on demand every single day, plus bonus Benson on the weekends. GuyBensonShow.com, FoxNewsPodcast.com, or wherever you get your podcasts. When we come back, the Guy Benson Show continues. I turn it over from Israel to the west coast of the United States. Jason Rantz of KTTH continues when we come back.
Not the same talking points here. The Guy Benson Show.
Kudlow on Fox Business is now on the go for podcast fans. Get key interviews with the biggest business newsmakers of the day. The Kudlow Podcast will be available on the go after the show every weekday at foxbusinesspodcasts.com or wherever you download your favorite podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.